It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. The morning after the final debate of this big election year. How about that? It's not going to be another one that we know of. And last night it was J.D. Vance and Tim Walz who squared off. And the bias of the media shows through again. If you go and look at this, they all want you to believe Politico, Newsweek, CBS News, that somehow this thing was a draw. But that's not the truth about the whole thing. Who won the presidential debate? Like the Baltimore Sun. You know the Baltimore Sun is like the Post-Dispatch. It's got to have one of the most liberal listener readerships in America, in Baltimore, Maryland. The Wall Street Journal, some of these others who did polls of people in swing states who were supposedly undecided, all of them claimed that by at least 10 points, J.D. Vance won that debate last night.
Even watching some people, the commentators on CNN, including Dana Bash, she was crediting J.D. Vance with the performance last night. They said Tim Walz just seemed caught off guard, and Dana said she thought that it seemed as though Tim over-prepared in the sense that he had so many rehearsed lines that when J.D. Vance was speaking, he had this deer in the headlights look that we saw time and again. And then when he would actually respond, it was almost he was just going to one of those lines he had been practicing days prior, not directly responding to what Vance had just said.
Yeah, I thought that he got more comfortable as the evening went along. Probably more disturbing is that the two of them agreed with each other more often than I would have liked. I would just like to say that I agree with what the senator said, or I agree with what the governor said. I wish, in some ways, Vance would have been a little edgier on him. I think he was in the, okay, I want to go through this, I want to get the facts out, I want to be liked at the end of it mode.
I see it a little bit differently. I think that J.D. Vance had a good mix of being aggressive when he needed to be, but also showing compassion. And I think that's what a lot of people get upset about Donald Trump, you know, with his demeanor, with some of the things that he says, the quote unquote mean tweets. And so I think that was very, very intentional that J.D. Vance came out looking very he just had a kind of a different tone to him last night that we haven't seen, even when he's doing, say, a talk back with one of the network news outlets.
Yeah,
I think that was needed. I think people need to stop looking at the Republican Party like some do as these, oh, these are terrible people and they're mean and they say terrible things. And it's just all these, you know, crazy people on the weird people.
The moderators were having none of that. They were not going to tolerate that kind of attitude, Kim.
It was 3-1 last night, by the way.
They will cut you off if you dare to try to cross them. Speaking of which, let's get to our top stories this morning, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Now you start to realize who the longshoremen are, right?
Nobody cares.
People never gave a about us until now, when they finally realized that the chain is being broke now.
Yeah, use guys better listen to us. This guy is going to make you feel the pain until you respect him and his 78-foot yacht. That was the head of the Longshoremen Union.
No one is in charge of our country, and it's not even clear
Really, I mean, who's in charge between the two of them? You have a president, I guess. You have a vice president, I guess.
Trump had a long, rambling speech yesterday in the hour or so leading up to the debate. I tuned in and watched it a little bit. I'm not sure who was in the audience, but he gave a long speech and talked about a lot of things, including Kamala Harris and the fact that Joe Biden has checked out largely.
Governor, you previously opposed an assault weapons ban, but it's only later in your political career did you change your position. Why?
Yeah, I sat in that office with those San Diego parents. I've become friends with school shooters. I've seen it.
That can't be what he meant to say, right? Really, he meant to say something else, right? I don't know, but here we go again.
Since 1990, it's something that Kamala Harris created.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut. We have so much we want to get to. Thank you for explaining the legal process. Nora.
Thank you, Margaret.
Yeah, this was after they once again tried to fact check J.D. Vance on the Springfield issue, right? The migrant issue, which came up last night. They did not want J.D. Vance explaining to the American people, to the millions of people who were listening, what that Border Patrol app does that this administration created. They don't want the average American to understand that. They want to refer to people who have legal status in the United States and try to get away from the term illegal. What they are is illegitimate. Maybe that's the better word for it. But J.D. Vance tried to explain to them, but they cut him off. And they didn't like it at all. I want to play the bite because I want you to listen to it again. They tried to say, well, all the people in Springfield are Haitian and they're here legally. Well, no. You need to understand why they make that claim. It's because of Kamala Harris's magic wand. Listen.
Thank you, Governor. And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status, temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important because
we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank
Margaret,
you.
Margaret, the rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not a person coming in, applying for a green card and waiting for 10 years. That
Thank
is
you,
the
Senator.
Facilitation of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Senator,
leadership.
Thank you, Senator, for describing the legal process.
Kamala,
we have
Kamala
so
Harris
much to get to,
that
Senator.
Pathway.
Those
we
laws have
so
been
much
on the books since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP app has not been on the books
since 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris.
And that's where they cut the mics.
Yeah, good for J.D. Vance for calling her out on that. Margaret Brennan, by the way, her tone said everything you need to know about her stance on these two candidates. Because J.D. Vance would say something, for example, about illegal immigration and Kamala letting all these people in, and then she would turn to Tim Walz and say, "Governor, do you want to respond to J.D. Vance's allegation that she's just letting these illegals in?" If I say it like that and I slow it down, letting these illegals in, that you know exactly how I feel about that. And just from the way I phrased the question to you, right?
You got it. You got to go book back and look at the Marjorie Taylor Greene tweet from last night. It's a picture of Margaret Brennan with this big smile on her face and staring lovingly at Tim Walz. And it says, "You need to find you a woman that looks at you the way Margaret looks at Tim Walz." It's true.
With googly eyes.
There was a love affair there with Walz. They tried everything they could to protect him. They cut Vance off several times. It was a mess. And even the polls in the Baltimore Sun and places like that are pretty lopsided right now. You can still go vote in my Twitter poll at MarkCox971. It's going to run for about another hour and 20 minutes or so. You have plenty of time to vote, and we'll read the results at the end. Who won the debate last night? Was it Vance? Or was it Walz and O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan? We'll be back in just a minute.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska, town of 400, town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on, and I'm proud of that service. I joined the National Guard at 17, worked on family farms, and then I used the GI Bill to become a teacher, passionate about it, a young teacher. My first year out, I got the opportunity in the summer of 89 to travel to China.
Governor, just
the stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
We've got Genevieve Wood with us, senior advisor from the Heritage Foundation. Genevieve, I assume, like most of us, you were glued to the TV screen last night, right?
I was, and actually was enjoying myself. It was let me just say this up front. It was one of the better debates I have seen in a long time in American politics. And that I gave credit to both candidates for that. We had more discussion of actual public policies last night than I've seen a long time in a debate.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder if Tim Walz, I didn't think he did a great job. I thought he seemed kind of nervous at first. He bounced back a little bit toward the end of the debate, which showed a little bit more confidence. But if he's got the ability to discuss specifics, which he did a little bit last night, why haven't they had him do that more on behalf of Harris? Because she's not talked about anything she would do. I mean, Walz probably gave more insight into what she'd like to do than she has so far.
Well, I think, Mark, to a great extent, is because the specifics aren't good, even when you know them, even when you talk about them. I think, as J.D. Vance said quite well last night, I feel sorry for Tim Walz because he's got to defend her. He's got to talk about the fact that under the Trump administration, the economy was doing better. Housing prices were better. Prices on gas and food and everything else was better. There were no conflicts around the world going on his watch. And yet you've now got to stand here and defend this. So I think that was a very truthful, accurate statement. And so, that's one reason the campaign as a whole has talked about things. And by this, I mean that the Harris-Walz campaign has talked about things like joy and what is the vibe, as opposed to actual specifics, because they're not, the numbers just aren't there for them.
You know, it's funny how Tim Walz tried to get J.D. Vance on the whole 2020 January 6th thing and saying, well, clearly you think that Trump won that election. And then I love how J.D. Vance flipped it right back and talked about how they were censoring people. And you have John Kerry this week coming out and saying, the First Amendment, that's a major roadblock to stopping disinformation.
No, I thought it was a great deflection in that sense. And it also, look, there were so many topics these moderators did not bring up, right? And that's one of them. But yet they want to keep talking about January 6th, which is now almost 4 years ago. We have talked about ad nauseum. What they wanted to talk about election integrity. I mean, that is a top concern of many voters of, are our elections secure? We could have talked about that. That would have been a good question, but that isn't where they went. I think the second or third question out of the box was climate change. They did hit on the economy, immigration, abortion. That's three topics we all know we're going to talk about. But there are a lot of others that they just, I will say, I thought the moderators themselves were very biased, not only in their performance, but in the questions that they chose.
Well, love the fact that the Daily Signal put four of its best people on this to do some fact-checking on all that last night. And, to listen to Nora O'Donnell insert her own opinion on the climate change thing, they brought it up. They brought it up
so rich.
They brought it up near the top of the debate, even though it's at the bottom of most people's list of concerns, because they wanted to tie this hurricane to climate change. I mean, it was amazing.
Hello. Let's turn now to Hurricane Helene. The storm could become one of the deadliest on record. More than 160 people are dead, and hundreds more are missing. Scientists say climate change makes these hurricanes larger, stronger, and more deadly because of the historic rainfall.
Yeah, they had to draw it to climate change. It couldn't just be there was just a bad storm. How do you feel about how the government's reacted to that? Because that's what they hammered Bush on about Katrina. But here it has to be climate change.
Yeah, I was just going to say that wasn't the angle they took when George W. Bush was president, and which they could rightly take right now, considering neither Biden or Harris has even been to North Carolina or Georgia or anywhere close to them, as far as I know, maybe flying over at some point.
Yeah,
so that would have been a valid discussion, probably FEMA and taking care of people, but they didn't go anywhere near that. But and remember, Mark, Kim, at the end of that discussion, the back and forth on climate change, Norah O'Donnell gave a statement, like her own statement,
yes,
on climate change. I was sitting there, I'm like, oh, so I'm so glad we needed to hear your comments on that. What are you running for? And they said they weren't going to fact check. Remember, that was one of the rules they had. And literally within the first 15 minutes, they fact checked J.D. Vance on one of the issues on immigration. And thankfully, you know, he came back and said, let me explain what you just said that wasn't accurate, and well, gave it to him.
And on the abortion issue, too, I'm going to run out of time here, but, you know, Walz claiming he didn't sign a law allowing abortion into the ninth month, which he did. And then he lied about the death of Amber Thurman and why she died.
No, you're absolutely right. I was waiting for J.D. Vance to give clarity there. I think that wasn't a topic that he wanted to dwell on, and it takes a while to explain. But that is exactly, if you're going to fact check as a moderator, that is exactly the places you should have stepped in. Yes. We know that at least, I believe, 5 or 8 babies died because of the law that Tim Walz signed in Minnesota. That is a fact, and you can find it in news outlets, not just the Heritage Foundation, not just the Daily Signal, Minnesota news sources, and others. So he just, but they don't want to bring attention to that. But that was a fact they could have easily brought forward. It's not the first time it's come up, and they know it.
Yeah, it's a great point. I always appreciate your time, Genevieve. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, great talking to you. That Amber Thurman case, seriously, she took the abortion pill. Mm-hmm. Without reading the side effects, and it can lead to sepsis if the body doesn't get rid of itself, get rid of the baby, yep, at that point. And she had twins.
No news outlets are fact-checking that, by nothing, the way, this morning, saying that was wrong the way he told that story.
Yeah, nothing. And I really wish Vance had jumped on it. Maybe he wasn't familiar with it. I don't know. Very, very sad. He did say he was sorry to hear it, for sure. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim in just a little while. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Pretty clear. Vance outclassed Walz tonight. I mean, I was watching this and all I could think of was, man, Walz is so in over his head. I mean, can you imagine this guy sitting in the White House Situation Room with that facial expression that's like 50% sheer terror and 50% extreme bafflement? I mean, it was amazing, the split screen difference between a competent Vance and a totally in over his head Walz. The answer on why he lied about his trips to China and the Tiananmen Square thing was probably the worst VP debate meltdown since Stockdale in 92. You know, who am I and why am I here? It was 2.5 minutes of absolute terrible. For Vance, night of redemption. All the political media has told us that Vance was a terrible pick and Walz was going to bring in all these voters. That charade is now over. Walz does not belong at this level of American politics. Vance does. Final verdict, Tim Walz wandered into the wrong bar tonight.
Yeah, Scott Jennings there on CNN. I thought making a good case for why Vance won last night. It wasn't even a contest. But here, I think you had two candidates who were not well known by a lot of Americans, and a lot of people tuned in and heard from Walz for the first time last night. They heard from Vance for the first time last night. They realized that Vance is not some two-headed monster like the left-wing media has portrayed him to be. And they realized that Walz is a politician who's been elected many times to many different offices through the years, and he's capable of putting a couple of thoughts together. Now, he stumbled some. He didn't look nearly as comfortable as J.D. Vance. But on overall performance, just like we called it with the last one, on overall performance, Harris probably won that last debate. She won on the content. In this case, Vance won not only on the content, but on the performance. He absolutely masterfully handled that debate, minus one or two issues I think he could have done better on. He could have done better on abortion, and he could have done better on guns. He didn't handle those well, and I wish he would have slammed them on January 6th when Waltz had the audacity to say they want to persecute their political opponents.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a tee-up.
I know. I was waiting for him to, because he almost looked like as if he was smiling a little bit when Walls said that, kind of like,
and I'm
really?
Like, and I'm,
we're
him.
All thinking the same thing. Like, I can't believe you just said that out loud. And I'm waiting for J.D. Vance to hit back on him. And he didn't. But I think his response about the First Amendment and censorship from the Harris-Biden administration, I do think that was a good response, because Walls didn't, he kind of cornered him. He didn't really know what to say.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. Go to cut F, please, Carl.
Trying to distort the way a law is written to try and make a point, that's not it at all.
What was I wrong about, Governor? Please tell me, what was I wrong about?
That is not the way the law is written. Look, I've given
this. But how?
I've given this advice on a lot of things, that getting involved, getting engaged, that's been misread, and it was fact-checked at the last debate. But the point on this is there's a continuation of these guys to try and tell women or to get involved. I use this line on this, just mind your own business. On this, things work best when Roe versus Wade was in place. When we do a restoration of Roe, that works best. That doesn't preclude us from increasing funding for children. It doesn't increase us from making sure that once that child's born, like in Minnesota, they get meals, they get early childhood education, they get health care. So the hiding behind we're going to do all these other things when you're not proposing them in your budget. Kamala Harris is proposing them. She's proposing all those things to make life easier for families.
I asked a specific question, Governor. You gave me a slogan. As a
yeah, it's true. Kamala Harris hasn't proposed anything like any of that. But the answer for Tim Walz to everything, the answer to everything is bigger government and spending more money on it. He wants Medicare for all. He wants endless spending on meals, and I mean he's perfectly fine with illegal aliens being brought in across the border and given the ability to get Visa gift cards,
but
at taxpayer expense.
Mark, what you need to know, the takeaway from last night's debate, is that sometimes Tim Walz is a knucklehead. And sometimes he says things, he gets carried away in the moment, right? He didn't blame anything on bad grammar, which I thought was nice, but he needs you all to know that he grew up in a middle-class family. He grew up on a street where you would ride your bike until the streetlights came on.
I almost spit my bourbon and Coke out my nose when he started to answer that question last night about when he went to China, with the fact that he grew up in a middle-class neighborhood. Because it had nothing to do with her question to him regarding that at all.
Well, he's been around Kamala Harris too much, and that's her number one response to anything she's asked.
I know.
I just think it's funny that he said he was a knucklehead. That's the response. That's how you get out of a lot. I'm a knucklehead.
We didn't play the end of that soundbite, though. And I want to play that one again. We started to play it with Genevieve. Let me hit this over here, Carl. Here we go.
Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska.
I was born in a middle-class family. I rode my bike until dark. Listen.
Town of 400. Town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on, and I'm proud of that service.
What?
I joined the National Guard.
That was service? Yeah,
what?
Worked on family farms. And then I used the GI Bill to become a teacher. Passionate about it. A young teacher. My first year out, I got the opportunity in the summer of 89 to travel to China.
Governor, just to follow up on that, the question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
All I said on this was, I got there that summer and misspoke on this. So I will just That's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protests, went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
Did that make any sense? And then he quickly looked at J.D. Vance like, dude, help me. Dude, say something.
Like, what did you... You went to China to learn about governance? Really?
Yeah, implement some of those communist policies
they
over
said
here.
He'd taken more than 30 trips to China over the years. I don't know if I've driven to Kentucky 30 times in my life, and I've got relatives that live there. I'm sure I have. But point is, foreign countries, he's been to one country 30 times?
But
what do the Chinese have on him?
I was going to say, even if he's lying about that, just know that he's a knucklehead sometimes, and he has bad grammar, and that's why he tends to misspeak about so many of these topics. Like IVF, that his own wife had to fact-check him on, and you noticed last night he said infertility treatments.
Yeah.
And it's funny because remember in the middle of that response, he said something about, okay, I grew up on a street where you could ride your bike until the lights came on and I'm proud of that service. You can tell that to me that's indicative of how rehearsed that response was because he must have mixed up the order. He clearly would have said, I enlisted in the military. I'm proud of that service.
Yes.
But he got confused because, again, he had clearly practiced that.
I rode my bike.
And accidentally said that I'm proud of that service after saying he grew up in a small town where you could ride your bike until the lights came on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I looked at a few of the flash polls that came in from last night. The Boston Herald, I think, was one of the ones I printed off. That was pretty one-sided. There was one out of Providence, Rhode Island, which is a CBS News affiliate. 60% thought J.D. Vance won. Only 38% thought Tim Walz won. 2% thought it was even. Now, that was a CBS affiliate in Rhode Island. The governor of Rhode Island is the commerce secretary now. I mean, it's a Democrat state. That's a CBS affiliate. So where did CBS find the poll that showed people thought it was a dead heat, 42-41 mm-hmm. with 17 undecided? Where did they find those people?
Yeah, I'd like to know. And I think last night the performance from Tim Walz was truly a reflection of how few interviews he's done. I guess what? One joint interview?
Yes.
The CNN with Dana Bash and Kamala Harris. And yet you have on the flip side, you have J.D. Vance talking to every single network that probably reaches out to him asking for an interview. So he's had so many more reps to practice how to respond in these situations.
Well, they did their best trying to protect him last night. The moderators did, running interference, cutting J.D. Vance's mic when he was making a good point. I mean, it just went on and on and on. It was pathetic. Kim, coming up, what are we going to talk about on WHIM today?
You know, we all know there's been some pretty ridiculous things tax dollars have been used to pay for. Wait until you hear what's going on in Indiana, what their tax dollars are now paying for, because we all know if it's happening there, it could certainly happen here.
Yep, back in just a minute.
Kim on a WHIM.
Kim on a WHIM is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Well, be thankful that you don't live in Indiana this morning, because those residents there have to now pay. Their tax dollars are going to go toward sex reassignment surgery for an inmate who murdered an 11-month-old baby. There was a guy, Jonathan Richardson, who now goes by the name of Autumn, serving a 55-year prison sentence after being convicted of strangling a baby back in 2001. They're saying that this inmate, this guy, has gender dysphoria and now needs to get gender reassignment surgery while being in prison. And they claim that this guy has identified as a woman since the age of 6, but wasn't diagnosed with gender dysphoria until 2020. And that's when he started being prescribed female hormones and testosterone blockers. So basically, they ended up filing a lawsuit about this. And would you know it, the ACLU comes in and was like, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. That's not fair. It's a medical necessity to do this surgery. And a federal judge in Indiana agreed that denying this inmate who strangled a child to death, that denying that surgery for this inmate would be unconstitutional. Give me a break. That is infuriating.
You cannot get your insurance company to pay for that surgery, can you? Do insurance companies pay for gender reassignment surgery?
I thought they were now.
I don't think so.
I bet you anything you can try to argue that it's a medical necessity, because if they say you have gender dysphoria, they would then be able to argue, well, it would be dangerous to your mental health if you weren't granted this surgery.
Then why couldn't you argue that if you don't get your crow's feet removed and get plastic surgery, that it's going to cause you mental stress and therefore it's medically necessary?
Because that would be too... Because you know why, Mark? I have a very good answer to that. Because that's too logical, and they don't go off logic. They go off emotion, and that's why you see all these crazy policies and why now the people of Indiana have to have their tax dollars spent on this. This is absolutely ridiculous. This guy has already been apparently granted special treatment. Like they're allowing him to wear, and I quote, according to this article, women's panties, makeup, and form-fitting clothing. So he's already wearing that in the prison as part of these accommodations while he's behind bars serving time for murder.
We have lost our collective minds in this country. Who the hell is the judge that thought that was a thing? You give up a lot of rights when you go to prison. I'm not quite sure how they're adding to those rights.
And what's scary, and I mentioned this before the break, as I said, you know, it's happening there, it could happen here. Well, you think about what just played out in court as it relates to Amendment 3, the abortion amendment here in the state of Missouri. I know you were not as confident, Mark, but I felt confident that the Supreme Court here in the state of Missouri would see that the way that this was done was not okay and that it did not belong on the ballot. And I couldn't believe that they came back and voted the way that they did, and we will now have Amendment 3 on the ballot in November.
Yeah. Well, three disagreed with it.
Enough agreed that it should be on the ballot. Right. So this is the kind of stuff that's happening. You have federal judges who are making this decision. This person, by the way, this guy who now goes by Autumn, has a history of self-harm, including an attempted castration. But it's a medical necessity to get gender reassignment surgery. Yeah.
What he should be is in a mental institution for the criminally insane, wearing with his arms strapped up, right? With a straitjacket on. That's where he ought to be. Yeah. That way he can't castrate himself, and he can be drugged regularly and dealt with.
All I'm thinking of is, hello, Clarice. Like that kind of...
Yeah, that kind of straitjacket.
This is Amendment 3. I brought that up. Yes, the main part of it is abortion, but the way that they phrased it is so dangerous because it's so intentionally vague, and it could very well allow for these gender reassignment surgeries, not only for adults, but for minors. Minors. This is the stuff that is going to happen here in the state of Missouri. People, you voting for this right now, I hope you're listening, because if you vote yes, you're voting for that.
You are. Set the abortion thing aside. Everything's on the table, and it specifically prevents the legislature from doing anything about it.
Yeah.
So if you want to bring this freaky deal they have in Indiana to Missouri,
Autumn,
go ahead and vote for
You want Autumn's here with all these face tattoos? Go Google this person, by the way.
Coming up, we're going to get you a live report from Israel this morning to see the very latest on the Iranians bombing Jerusalem.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.